All right, let's get boogie in. I am Paul Roberts. I'm obviously not Fitz. Fitz is enjoying some time in Tucson, Arizona, due to the fact that they won the Conference of Champions for year 2005. So he has asked me to sit in for him today and chat with him. Again, I'm Paul Roberts. I run a base shop here out of Dallas, Texas, home of some extremely hot weather, and glad you guys are on the call today. I've invited two of my stars on my team to chat with us and to really introduce you guys to them and understand what they do and how they're doing it, and very excited to do that. These two individuals inspire me. It's a wonderful position when you're a manager and you have people that inspire you each and every day, and I just recommend that you take some notes. If you just joined us, you just heard Bruno say that we're not going to do our normal recognition. Heather is the one who usually handles that job. And, you know, I don't blame you, Bruno. I wouldn't want to mess that gig up either because she does a very good job doing that. Funny, last night, just talking about recognition, I just saw the numbers you shot to me, Bruno. I found an old award that I had won. And, man, I just got to share it with you. I won this back in, I was a top 10 producer for the fourth quarter of 2004 for outstanding achievement and consistent hard work. Again, this was a top 10 producer with the Fitz Group back in the fourth quarter of 2004. I'm not doing this to boast or brag. I got a point here. my production for, and again, I got to say this one time, fourth quarter, okay, this is 3 months. This isn't 1 month. This is three, was $36,359. And I'm sitting here looking at this email that Bruno just sent us, and we got people, I got Paul Moss at the top of this deal at $31,517.40. And that's just 2 weeks. So it's just amazing where this entire organization has gone. And you guys that report directly to Fitz, you're lucky, you're blessed. I just advise you to do what the man tells you to do, because I sure have. I call him a man, but he's also a kid. But it's been a pleasure working with him. I'm glad he asked me on this call today. So going to get started. I've got two people from my group on the call today. The first interview I'm going to do, we're going to go over his in-home presentation, what he does, really from the get-go, from the start of him knocking on the door, what he says, how he gets things done. He never price is never an issue. He's figured out ways to overcome all of that, which is just, again, when I talk to him, I have a note and a pad, a pen, just because the things he tells me, man, I go out in the field and I do them, and I bat 100% every time I chat with him. So he's going to go over his presentation, what he does, how he does it. The second gentleman that we have on the call today, who was just asked to be on our national call for the Foresters, the 12 o'clock call that follows this call. He was at 12 p.m. Central, I should say. He was invited to be on that call with Darwin Herm. With Foresters. He is he might be in number two now, but he was in number one for a long time as the number one producer with Foresters. And I don't know if you guys are aware of this, but the leaderboards that come out with Foresters are not business that is turned in. It is issued business, paid business. So it's impressive to see those types of numbers when we're talking about actual money that's going into his hands. I want to have him talk about dedication. I don't think I have anybody that I know of personally that's more dedicated than him. His scheduling, I don't want to take away from what he does. But I'm just going to stop right there because the man is just incredible. So first we're going to start off with Michael Owens. You with us, buddy?
Hey, Paul.
Yes.
Do me a favor real quick. Would you announce your email address for any questions somebody might have?
Thank you very much. If you have any questions as we're doing this, please email me. Paul at paulrobertsteam.com. That's paulrobertsteam.com. If it doesn't pertain to what we're talking about, if you want to know the difference between Golden Promise and Home Certain, I'm not going to chat about that. But if you have a question that pertains to what either one of these gentlemen are talking about, I'd love to answer those questions as we go. Am I leaving anything out? Bruno before I get started with Mr. Owens.
No, that's it. I just wanted to, if anybody had questions, I wanted to be able to get those addressed. If they're relevant, if they are not relevant to the conversation, we can always address those after the call in an email.
Okay, good. All right, Michael, you with us, my friend.
I am, sir.
All righty. How's the weather up there? It's stinking hot here.
Oh, it's not too bad. I'm at like 70-some degrees. I mean, it's a good day for up here, to be quite honest with you.
We had 2 days here in Dallas, Texas, over 100 degrees. We had rolling blackouts, electrical blackouts, in the northern part of Texas because of that. And we're still making a lot of money and having fun. We don't care.
And it's still springtime there. I'd hate to see summer.
This is spring, baby. Summer's 115, dude.
Wow.
Michael, what I'd like you to do today is, you know, go over what you do, your presentation. You have a mindset that you get into. Let's start off with just going up to the front door and what your preparation is and what you do.
Well, to be quite honest with you, Paul, I mean, you've been in my car, you've been there before, so you know what I do. But I'll go ahead and tell you this. I've got you know, one of the six disc changer things in my vehicle, and I got it all loaded up with MP3s. And I'm always listening to something before I go into a call to make sure that my mindset is correct. I mean, any one of the MP3s that are out there, I love listening to. And when I go up to that door, I'm excited. I've got my bag in my left hand. I've got the paper also in the left hand of their lead. I always bring it right to the front door, and I got my right hand ready to shake their hand. I got a smile from ear to ear on my face. I mean, I'm smiling so much that it makes myself laugh, and that's what I got to do before I walk in. Is I got to get my mindset, no matter what's happened in my day, it's got to be clear by the time I'm at that front door.
Incredible. And actually, you're right. I have been with you, and I met you there in Florida. We ran some business together, And he's not lying. He's got all this set up. He didn't set it up for me because he didn't know we were going to jump in his car and go to dinner that night. It's just something that is a routine and that you do consistently. How much business did you write in the month of March?
$48,000.
And did you do that all in your own backyard?
No, absolutely not. No, I mean, you just disclosed that I went down to Florida. That's a few plane trips or about a 16-hour drive from where I'm at.
I know in Dallas, we have a saying about it being in our own backyard. Our backyard is called the United States of America, and we use the Dallas-Fort Worth International Airport. In fact, I'm leaving tomorrow morning. I'm probably going to run into two or three people. In fact, we run into each other quite frequently in that airport. But let's get to your presentation. You know, there's all types of systems out there. The simplistic, you know, they all have passion, whichever they are. Tell us about your presentation and what you do in front of that customer.
It's pretty simple. I mean, as I walk into the front door, you know, I mean, my goal is I'm looking for that kitchen table. I'm not trying to sit down anywhere besides the kitchen table. And then I'm sitting down there in front of them. And I do two things, okay, because when I use a scheduler, when the person schedules on the telephone, they tell them I'm not going to take very much of their time. And a lot of times, you know, that's what allows me to get into the door. So when I sit down with them, I tell them I'm upfront and honest with you. I'm not here to take all your time like they disclosed to you on the telephone. I will be done within 10 minutes. And the truth of the matter is I am done within 10 minutes. They're the one who keeps it going longer. And I also tell them that I'm not here to take all their money. Okay, so I don't want all their time. I don't want all their money. I can have the best particular program in the world, but if it doesn't fit your budget, it doesn't be a darn bit of good. And I pretty much, the walls dropped at that point because they now understand that, hey, I'm a consultant here. I'm not here to sell them anything. I can't sell them anything. The only thing I can do is take an application. And I roll right into it. I tell them that all the companies that I use, okay, are either A or A-plus rated carriers. So I tell them I'm going to tell them a little bit about myself and a little bit about the program that I can offer them. So I go right into it. I tell them that, you know, all the companies I use are A or A-plus rated carriers. I use such companies such as Foresters, Fidelity and Guarantee, Shenandoah, the list goes on and on. But the main point that you got to be concerned about is that they're all A or A-plus rated carriers.
Now, let me stop you for just 2 seconds. There's something about your presentation I just absolutely love. At the very beginning, you say to them, hey, what exactly was it that you said? I was writing that down, didn't get all of it.
In regards to what? I'm not here to take all your time and all your money?
Yeah. That's exactly what you say. I'm not here to take all your time and all your money.
And I'm not.
You had something in there before that said, like, you said your scheduler said something, and
Yeah, my scheduler, when they tell him on the phone, you know what I mean, and the person a lot of times will ask, you know, how long is this meeting going to take with Mr. Owens? And on the phone, just so you have an understanding of the mindset of when we schedule, I do use a scheduler. The person does speak about me as Mr. Owens the entire point in time. They never disclose my first name. So on the telephone, it's pretty respectful. It gives a better sense that when I don't get many no-shows. That when I'm there, I'm there to do business, and it's not going to take real long of your time. We know your time is valuable, and we tell them that.
Cool. Now, I'll jump back into your presentation. I apologize. I just wanted to make sure I had that written down correctly.
No problem. So we've got A or A-plus rated carriers. Now, the reason why you're able to do this is because you've purchased or refinanced your home within the last 13 months. Okay? And then I go over your mortgage. Now, is your mortgage still with, you know, XYZ company, or have they sold that off? And for what amount that it, okay, so we've got the correct amount. Reason why I'm looking for the amount, because maybe that's the second mortgage, maybe that's the equity line of credit. I don't know. I've got to figure out what their needs are. And that's where and then at that particular point, depending on the client, depending on the situation, depending on what the time I got, tells where I go next. But typically, I'll shut up at that point. Okay, I'm pretty much done talking. I mean, now I've got to listen to them. What about prices?
I mean, that's all you say, and then you just wait for them, huh?
Yeah. Well, I ask them. I say, hey, this is part where it's interactive. Okay. I need to know what I'm here for. Okay. I know you sent this in. Okay. I know you want the coverage. Okay. But what we got to determine is what do you want, and how much does that cost you? Okay. And if that fits in your budget. I'm at that point, and if they continue to talk back to me, they disagree that that's what they're going to do. I mean, I've told them that this is what we're going to do. If they keep talking, that's what we're going to do. And the next thing I do is I tell them that when I walk outside that door today, you could very well be covered. Okay, and that we could put this, that this could be done with right here today. When I set that at ease, and then I listen to them. Okay, I listen to them what they tell me. You know, most of them will sit there and they'll tell me that, you know, I want to make sure, you know, if it's a husband speaking, I want to make sure that if something happens to me, that my wife and my two children are taken care of, okay? And then it's my job, okay, to, one, give them what they need, okay? And then I do try to consult them, okay? You know, I mean, if they don't have any coverage on their wife, I'm looking to put something on it, okay? Whether it's an additional policy on them, okay, or whether it's a rider on the policy. The children always go on too, whether it's an additional policy or not. My goal is to give them, my job to what I feel is to give them something better than what they have before I walk out that door. And I don't give up very easily.
Okay.
So, I mean, after that, it's pretty much them talking to me.
Okay. So you've, I like what you said there. This is what we're going to do. I'm taking notes here. I apologize. This is what we're going to do. And today when I walk out of here, you're going to be covered. Correct?
Absolutely.
I like the part you're talking about the wife. You said you do some consulting. I know there's some other things that you say. What is it that you actually say when you get to that point?
Well, I'll ask them, do you have any coverage, on your wife or your children? And the answer to that will typically be no. Okay, or what I have through their work, or not. Because, I mean, our clients are middle America. Our clients are people that need help, and that's what my job is to help them and to find something that fits in their budget. And the reason why I keep coming back to something that fits in their budget is I don't have many people that stop paying the premiums. Because I figure that if I put, and I tell them this, okay, if I put something so close to you what your budget can and cannot afford, that it doesn't do you any bit of good if 6 months from now something traumatic happens and you can't afford to pay this. Mm-hmm. So I want to make sure that the number that we arrived to today is something that you're very, very comfortable with. And I tell them that repetitively because once I get that policy on the books, I don't want it to go anywhere, and I want the family to maintain being covered. So back to the children, the wife and the kids, I'll ask them, do you have any coverage currently? Okay, and the answer is typically no. My next question is, I tell them a little bit more about myself, okay, because I've told them in the beginning I'm going to tell them about myself, but I haven't yet, okay. So now is where I feel that I'm starting to bring some emotion into it, and I've got it. Now is where I've got to get into the emotion part of it, because I'm real quick, and now it's time for emotion. I'll tell them about myself. I'll say, hey, I've got a wife, I've got three children. I've got three boys. I got my first teenager this year. I got a 13, 9, 4 years old. Okay? And automatically that relates to something. And I'll say, I'll be honest with you, sir. If something happened to them today, okay, if they were involved in an auto accident, that for some reason that all four of them have passed, would you be, you know, I tell you, sir, I'll be honest with you, I don't have enough liquid cash to go out there and make sure that I can bury them properly. You know, I've got to have some coverage in place. I have got to have something in place. Do you? And at that particular point, he has now added up in his head, you know, wow, if you know, your family is, you know, four people and each one of them has, you know, a funeral of, let's say, $5,000 to $10,000, that's $20,000 to $40,000. You know, I mean, now I need something. You know, I mean, I couldn't afford that. I, you know, let alone, I probably won't go back to work the next day. And then I talk about the children. I say, look, I say, if I'm not, I say, you know, let's talk about the children. Let's say something traumatic like that didn't happen. I said, but, you know, God forbid that you lose one of your children. I'm not looking to profit off, and I tell these people this. I said, I'm not looking to profit off of any of my child's death. I said, but what I will tell you is that I won't go back to work the next day. I won't go back to work the next week, maybe not for the next month. I don't know. But what I do know is I cannot let my family suffer for that period of time where I can't provide for them, because you are the primary breadwinner in the family, right, sir? And that's how I tell.
Strong. Very because strong. Go ahead.
My goal is to cover, my goal is not to cover one person in that household. My goal is to cover that household. That's why they call it a household. I'm looking to cover everybody in that house. Because I figure, okay, if you can go in there and write one particular program for $70 on, let's say, the husband a month, okay, if you can show them how to cover the entire family, it's not as much as what's on the husband, okay, for $100 a month, what are they more likely to purchase, the $70 one or the $100 one? What are they more likely to carry, to keep for the longer period of time, the one that covers everything or the one that covers just one person in the household? They're not going to shop around on you because it's too complicated at that point. You're giving them a package, and that's my goal.
Awesome. What about, you know, hey, Michael, you know, I appreciate everything you've done here. This is still too expensive. What do I do? I mean, you know, I like what you're saying here, Michael, but it's just too expensive.
Hey, I'm glad that you're honest with me. I asked you that in the beginning. I said, hey, one of the things that you got to tell me is if I'm out in your budget, you got to tell me, because the best thing, I can have the best particular program in the world, but if it doesn't fit in your budget, it doesn't do any good, right? I mean, that's what we disclose. And I'll be honest with you, sir, what you've asked for, that's a Cadillac, okay? That is an absolute Cadillac, okay? Now, would you agree to me, okay, that having some coverage is better than nothing? Well, absolutely, okay? So now we need to make some changes. And what I'll do is I'll look to, it depends. You know what I mean? Every situation is different. If it is, if I can, and if I cannot get them, my goal is to lower the coverage if I have to. Okay, or reduce their time frame if they're not on return of premium. You know, if they're on return of premium, reducing the prime frame is going to raise the coverage. But if I'm looking at a 20-year and I'm looking to lower the coverage, I may add, you know, I may go to, from a 20 to a 30-year with return of premium. My goal is just to drop it down. But in the worst-case scenario, when I can't do any of that, okay, let's just, and I'll try to be real simple, because I used to think about this, the 50, you know, the extra 50% of the accidental death benefit that Fidelity and guaranteed as a bonus. You know what I mean? I didn't really play it up real good. And all of a sudden, I was sitting in a home, and it actually happened when I was thinking about Foresters, because when you quote a Foresters, it automatically puts in there the 100% accidental. And I never figured it out for the longest time until all of a sudden I was sitting in a home, and the person was sitting there telling me, Michael, I really, it was so obvious, I don't know why I didn't catch it earlier, but they compared me against this, you've all seen them, we've gone out to the house and seen them, an accidental death coverage that's going to cover this amount of money, okay? And, you know, we read the fine prints, and, you know, I mean, I joke around and I tell them, I say, yeah, those things, I said, you know, you got to pass on a Wednesday, you got to be run over by a dump truck when a deer runs out in front of it with the sun in the driver's eyes. I said, you know, those things are pretty, you know, wow, you know, I mean, those things scare me. I mean, odds are most people don't pass early. You know, I mean, if you look at, you know, statistics rates of accidents, teenagers, you know, those are the ones who pass early, not from accidents, not adults. You know, it's health related usually with an adult. And so they were comparing me against this. And what I did is the amount that they wanted to cover, because she, no matter what I told her, okay, she did not believe that she was going to die. She had a 30-year mortgage, okay, she did not believe that she was going to die, no matter what I told her in the next 15 years for health-related issues. She said, there's no way. There's just absolutely no way. If I was to die within the next 15 years, it would be by an accident. And I said, okay. So I took, you know, the coverage, the mortgage was $100,000. They couldn't afford to pay it, okay? They couldn't pay my premium. So I reduced the coverage down to $50,000. Okay? And typically I would just present that to them. I would say, you know, hey, now you got $50,000 and then accidentally you got $75,000. But you know what I wasn't doing? Is I wasn't doing what my job was to come in there. My job was to protect the mortgage, okay? So what I do now is I go in at $50,000, I put the $50,000 on there, and I raise the accidental death benefit to 100%. So now I was able to tell her that, look, you know, within the next 15 years, if you were to die accidentally, I've got your entire $100,000 paid. Okay, if you die health-related, I've got a backup of $50,000, okay? But in 15 years, now this isn't exact, but your mortgage will be down close to, you know, half, okay? A little bit more than half because the way your amortization works, but around $50,000, $60,000. So if you do what you say you're going to do, and you make it to 15 or 16 years, well, I've got you covered, okay? Because you already told me if you're going to pass, it's going to be the next last 15 years from health-related costs. And so it all of a sudden hit me, and that's what I do.
Wow. I got
to go. Oh,
yeah.
Seen value.
Yeah. Every one of our clients thinks it's going to be an accident. We know the statistics is untrue, but you're giving them exactly what they want. I tried that when I went. We talked about this a couple of weeks ago, a little longer actually, and I tried that and went out and ran three appointments, went 3 for 3, and all of them have 100% accidental death on them.
Absolutely. They love it.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, as I'm pretty sure Robert Wallace said, hey, you know what I mean? I'm not there to change their mind. I'm there to give them what they want. You know what I mean? My appointments are booked every hour on the hour. You know what I mean? So I don't have time to sit there. I mean, and I was talking to a new agent earlier today, and I said if I'm going to spend 2 or 3 hours with an individual talking to them, I want to make sure that the 2 or 3 hours I spend is with my family, is talking to my wife and my kids for 2 or 3 hours extra, not some person that I've just met a few moments ago. My job, I told them on the telephone, I'm not going to take real long of your time. So I have no problem trying to speed things up because that's what I told them I was going to do. That's the reason why I'm there. I'm not going to take much of their time. I mean, you know, really, when I talk, and you know, I was done talking 10 minutes ago, you know, I mean, the rest of the conversation is all interactive with, and they keep the conversation going. And I'll sit there and I'll look down my watch. I'll go, man, you're making me run over my time here.
You say that?
Yeah. Because I told them I wasn't going to be real long. So it's almost a joke that goes back and forth. Okay, so what am I doing is I'm trying to speed them up a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Because, they know that they've given you hour time spots, and we tell them on the telephone, hey, we're not here to take long your time, so I have no issues telling them that, hey, we got to go. You know, I mean, we got things to do.
So you have the lead. You start off with that. You go over the mortgage amount. This is a question that I have here. I'm paraphrasing. And do you go over all the available benefits? It didn't sound like you did. It sounded like you just said, hey, this is da-da-da. And how did you segue? What was your segue there? Someone didn't get that.
I don't. You know what I mean? I really don't. I say now this is where it becomes interactive. Okay?
You actually say those words, now this is where it becomes interactive.
Absolutely. I tell you, this is where I got to hear from you. You know, this is where, you know, I'm pretty much done talking. Now I got to listen to you. Because I told you I wasn't going to take real long. I mean, I don't, you know, I build rapport in the time where, you know, you don't build rapport talking to somebody, you know, with them listening. You build rapport with them interacting and talking back and forth with you. So my job, I think, to me, is you know, and I listen to your presentation, and you walk in, and boom, that's, you know, you're building rapport from the moment you walk in the door, okay? Mine is a little different. I go in, I spend, you know, 5 to 6 minutes, tell them a little blurb about what I got, and then it's all about building rapport with me. Because that's how I do it. I mean, I used to go over the full bullet points, the death, disability, unemployment, return to premium. I don't do that a lot anymore. I mean, the reason being is because I don't know which product that I might go with. You know, so I try to cut it short right there, and I don't go over the full bullet points anymore. I just tell them, you know, hey, what are you here for? You know, what am I here for? And with that, you know, they usually then tell me because I want to make sure that my wife is protected. I mean, and that's where the emotional thing goes. And my goal in, you know, the whole I love you thing and the clothes, I actually, you know, I use it in a way. And as long as I've got the husband and wife sitting down, and I'll tell you, I mean, that's a big thing, okay? Don't book the appointment, okay, unless you've got the husband and wife sitting there with you. Because it's just perfect out for them to sit there and say, well, let me talk to my wife about it. Let me talk to my husband about it. He's the one who makes all the decisions. I mean, I almost to the point will sit there. If I go to the door and one of them aren't there, I'll try to reschedule the appointment because it doesn't. I found it doesn't do me any good.
I like some of the things you say. I've written them down here, and these are just, you know, again, I know a lot of agents get mad when we talk about mindset. They're like, give me more. Well, mindset's so important. Here's your mindset. This is what you told the customer at the very beginning. I am a true believer that I have the best to offer. I mean, that's what you say those exact words.
Absolutely.
Wow. And the next one there.
I am. Mm-hmm. I mean, I am. I believe that. I mean, I truly do believe that. You know what I mean? I really do believe that when I'm there. And the reason why I believe that is because you're walking in, you got like an arsenal full of weapons of what you can. I mean, you got Foresters, you got Fidelity and Guarantee. You know, if you have to go compete against a medical product, you got medical things that will blow everybody's out of the water. I mean, I truly do believe that I got the best things that the Rotter offer.
Wow. And I like what else you say here. Your job is to give them some coverage. Do you actually say those words to the customer, or is that something that you just kind of, your mindset that you were talking about?
Well, that's my mindset, but I'll tell them that. I mean, I'm not leaving. I'm not leaving without getting them covered. That's probably my only downfall is because I'll sit there, if I see there's a glimmer of hope at all, if they're not kicking me out the door, I'll keep going. I'll keep writing that application out. I mean, I'm to this, sometimes they've signed a piece of paperwork, and you know what I mean, and it happened to me, you know what I mean, it happened to me and you down in Florida, where I had the individual, all of a sudden, you know, at the end, had the check wrote and everything, and all of a sudden, you know, the daughter walks in and looks down the price. The daughter of some young kid goes, wow, that's awful expensive. Okay, and all of a sudden I had trouble. But did I give up on that one? No. I mean, I kept at it. And I was there, you know what I mean, did I run late to my next appointment? Yeah, I did. But I got the, you know what I mean, I was there. I closed it. I, you know what I mean, it didn't make a difference. I was there to do it.
The question I just got here was, at what point do you go over the bullet points? It doesn't sound like you do that.
I don't. The only thing that I'll come back to, and the reason being is because, and I'll be honest with you, the reason being is because, you know what I mean, not every time am I going to offer disability. You know what I mean, if they tell me that's one of the reasons why I'm there, I'm going to offer it to them, and I'm going to give them the cover that gives them disability.
I just got another email here. They want to know what your close is. What is your close?
I closed it when I got this piece of paper when you gave me the lead. They said yes I truly do believe that the person said yes when they sent it in. Okay, all I'm there is to find something that fits their budget. I mean, if I close, that brings up, you know, a stopping point where they got to make a decision. What I will say as I continue to keep filling out the application, because right before I give them the rate, okay, I'll set them up for everything that can possibly. My job, and here's what I believe, is to remove every objection before they have a chance to tell me it. Okay, if I've already told them that doesn't work, then it doesn't. Then they can't give it to me. Okay, you know what I mean, I'll remove the. You know, I mean, I go to Hudgens and you know, I use his thing and I'll say, why? You know, one of the things I got. You know, you got to tell me. Okay, that when we talk about these things, is, you know, I think about it, I know means one of two things, okay? I know that means that I didn't explain myself properly, okay, that you don't understand all these coverages, or I'm not in your budget. So you've told me that you'll tell me if I'm not in your budget, right? Right. Okay, so now the only thing I've got left to do is budget, because I've got the right coverage, because we've discussed with it. So now the only thing I've got to do is budget. If the only thing that I have to do is budget, I can work with that. You know what I mean? I've told you in the beginning how I can work with that. I will tell them, I prep them, and I tell them that, hey, when we fill out the application today, the only thing that I'm going to need from you, just so you know, okay, is 1 month's premium. We fill out the application. When I send it to them, that takes about 3 to 4 weeks, okay? When they come back to me, they're going to do one of three things. They're going to accept it just like we asked for. They're going to accept it with a modification, okay, or they're going to decline it. Now, I will tell you, okay, I travel quite a bit. I've disclosed to you where I'm from, okay, typically if I'm working outside my state. And at that point, I'll sit there and say, if they prove it just as we asked for, okay, typically, okay, I won't come back out here. There's no need. Your schedule's busy, and so is mine. I'll typically send it to you certified mail. I'll call you, and we'll go over if we have any questions, okay? Now, if there's a modification, okay, you're going to know. You're going to hear from me, okay? You're definitely going to hear from me, and if I'm back in your area, we're going to sit down and talk. We're going to figure out what's going on. Because what does that mean to me? That means I got a delivery requirement that I got to get signed. So I got to, if there's a delivery requirement and they're close to me, if there's a way that I'm going to be there within a week, I'm going to go get it signed myself. because I mean, to me, all I got to do is get assigned and I get paid. And the third thing I tell them is you're going to get declined. I tell them I'm a broker. I said my job is to place you with the best possible value to get you approved right the first time. So typically that doesn't happen, but does it happen sometimes? Yes, sometimes it happens. But the good news is that if that happens, okay, in your situation, I got another company, okay, maybe a couple more dollars a month, okay, but it's still going to get you covered, and we can make some adjustments and take care of it from there.
Hmm. So and I got to tell everybody on this call, because I see your business and I watch you get issued and all that stuff, there's nobody better at saving business than you. And you and I shouldn't say you, I should give credit to Angie, your wife. You guys do a phenomenal job. If something gets declined, I would say 85% of my agents, when something gets declined on the F&G website, they fold up 10 and leave. You guys are masterful at saving those things. You're masterful at getting out there and saving it, turning it over to a Saver Select, turning it over to a Forester's fully underwritten or whatever it may be. And the reason being, you can do that because of the setup you just gave. I mean, you just gave a huge setup. You gave us a lot of things there, and I hope you guys caught it. But one of the things that he left in that customer's mind is he might not get coverage. And it's going to be real easy, if this person doesn't get coverage, for Michael to call them back or Angie to call them back and say, well, didn't work out the way we wanted it to, but here's what we can do. And I think that anybody that writes $48,000 in 1 month, you got to have those qualities. Anything else you'd like to add before we get on to our next guest here?
No, except for the only thing that, and you hear it on every call, and you touched on it earlier, I mean, the whole thing is attitude. When you walk through that door, put a smile on your face. I mean, when they open that door, and my wife laughs at me all the time, okay, because I show her the face that when I come to the door, man, I'm smiling, okay, from ear to ear, that when that person opens the door, no matter what they got, no matter what's happening in their day, they're going to have to smile back or laugh. They have to. So, I mean, when we talk about attitude, it's your attitude when you walk in that front door, I think, in the first 30 seconds, that dictates the rest of the time.
Wow. I like it. And, you know, the message that we got, you know, what is your close? You're closing the whole time.
Yeah, I mean,
what you told me, you're closing the whole time. You're setting them up saying, hey, this is, you know, I'm a true believer that I have the best offer. I'm going to find something that fits your needs. Something is better than nothing. I've never seen, I mean, you write some small policies. I mean, some real small policies.
Hey, they got to take the big with the small ones, man. I'm not walking out there without a check.
And so your closing is constant, and your rapport with your customers is phenomenal. And keep it up. Keep it up. There's going to be, an Angie Owens group here real soon. Good job, and I appreciate you being on here and sharing with everybody. And we'll move on to Mr. Patton.
Yes, sir.
How are you? I'm doing great. Let me see if I have any... I had one more question for Mike, but we'll let him go. I think I can answer that myself. Jeremy, where do you live?
I live in Wichita, Kansas.
Wichita, Kansas. You guys get a lot of tornadoes, I almost said hurricanes. Tornadoes, right?
About the same as the Dallas area.
Yeah. How's the leaf flow there?
Well, I haven't had any since I started with NAA.
So I asked you to join my company a year and a half ago. Why? Why did you join? I can't give you leads in Wichita, Kansas.
Yes. It's an awesome opportunity. I believe in it. I mean, I can't go everywhere else. There's leads, right?
That's right. What is your closest driving commute to run leads?
Closest regular or?
Yeah, regular. What are you doing on a weekly
hours,
basis?
6 hours to and then another 6 hours back as far as driving.
6 hours to, 6 hours back.
That's my honey hole, so to speak.
I've asked you on
12 weeks in a row, by the way.
12 weeks in a row. Okay. I've been telling people it's 13, 14. I keep adding to it. You know, it's kind of like when the Cowboys won the Super Bowl. It was, you know, Tuesday.
I went two other places the other 2 weeks before that. So I've been on the road actually 14, 15 weeks in a row.
Okay, good.
Yes, sir.
So I'm not lying.
You're not.
I asked you to be on today because I think so many people get bogged down in the day-to-day activity of they don't think there's enough time in the day. And they and I want to go over your schedule. It's impeccable. If you could start with me, if you will, Sunday evening, because you send me something just about every Sunday evening. If you could just kind of take off from Sunday evening and tell these people how to plan, I'd appreciate it.
Sure. Well, I really believe, again, the number one, I wanted to say Michael did an awesome job. Phenomenal. I learned a lot from what he did. and said, I can definitely implement that this week, and I'm sure my production will be higher.
Yep.
But on Sunday, really, that's just a relaxing day for me, but I invest, you know, keyword invest, probably 1.5, 2 hours. Just, I really don't keep track of the time. It's just a matter of just really thinking through my whole week. What must I accomplish, you know, from the key goals of what's ultimately my most important objective, which is number one, writing business. But number one, writing, you know, I have a minimum.
Oh, man, I'm just getting ready for my weekend. I'm going out of town.
Bruno.
3 weeks.
Bruno. Bruno got unmuted there for a second.
There I am. Can you hear me?
Yeah, you unmuted, and we heard your conversation there for a couple seconds.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Hey, it's okay, buddy.
No problem. I'll mute myself.
Order me a Big Mac, would you?
Okay.
Go ahead, Jeremy.
No, so Sunday really is my planning day. That's really, yeah, I believe that, again, like anything else, it's a mindset. You know, if we don't know where we're going, if we don't know what we need to accomplish and how we're going to do it, we're not going to get there. We're just going to be wandering around hoping we get somewhere but not knowing exactly how. It's like saying, I'm going to go to Alaska, but not having a map. So Sunday is my day where I define my map, my blueprint of my week. Clear goals. I'm going to write 13 to 15 applications. I'm going to write $13,000 to $15,000 in annual premium. I'm going to make X amount of calls to set those appointments. I'm going to recruit a certain amount of people. And then I ask how. And then I start planning how I'm going to do it. And then I actually plug that into my schedule, my Outlook, and I actually block out time throughout the week of what I'm going to do, when I'm going to do it, how I'm going to do it. And, of course, there's flexibility to that, but I'm pretty disciplined in following that. So that's my Sunday. As you've seen, I think I emailed you a copy of my detailed plan.
Yeah, usually every Sunday you'll send me a copy. And guys, this isn't, you know, we hear about time management classes and we hear about, you know, planning. And what's the sentence you use?
Proper prior planning prevents poor performance.
Yeah, and you live by that. And this is real stuff, and I've got my team on it right now, and our production increased, I mean, just twofold, just by people tracking their dials. Let's get to that real quick.
Okay.
Tell me about how you set your own appointments.
I do.
And how do you have time to set all your appointments and have a 12-hour drive?
I have plenty of time, man. I set 12 appointments yesterday and had plenty of time with my family, worked out, and did the whole nine yards. It's just planning your time and using it wisely. There's plenty of time in the day. It's just a matter of how you're using it. I'm very disciplined in every day. Like Tuesday is my core appointment setting day. There's other things that need to be done, but until my, you know, 10 to 12 appointments are set, I don't do anything else, period. Nothing.
Yeah. And that's absolute truth, because I love brainstorming with Jeremy. It's probably one of my favorite things that I enjoy doing, and I'll call you on Tuesdays. And what will you say to me?
I'll call you later when I'm done.
You will. You're like, hey, man, I'm setting appointments. Ooh, sorry.
It's a rhythm. It's been the last 13, 14 weeks. It's every day, every week's the same. And the key is that mindset, man, is really just making a commitment. You're cutting yourself off from any other option that you're going to sit down. I have my block schedule out. Don't get me wrong. I don't sit on the phone all day, but I have blocks of times where I call for my leads and I do other things in between as far as recruiting and so forth. But nothing is more important than that actual appointment setting time.
So I get you your leads about 1, 2 o'clock, sometimes 3 o'clock on Tuesdays.
Correct.
And you set 12 appointments that evening.
Yeah, actually, throughout the day, I have a little bit left over from the previous week as far as leads, and I'll call through those in the morning. I usually have follow-up. Every week builds momentum for me. That's something that's really important for people. And, you know, just because you get a batch of leads this week doesn't mean they're done for next week. I call through stuff I've had the last 13 weeks, and I set appointments off of them all the time. So I start around, I'd say I start setting appointments around 10:30 or 11. I get my new batch, start on the new batch around 1. And then last night I was done by 6:30, 7 o'clock, and had 12 appointments. And then today is just kind of a cleanup day. Just a cleanup day as far as, you know, I'm going to set another 8 appointments today and then focus on recruiting and, of course, some other things that we already have pre-scheduled as far as conference calls and so forth. So the key is the scheduling it, planning it. I invest at least on top of my regular planning time on Sunday. It's very important that you know, okay, where am I going? What am I doing? How many people am I going to take care of? That's ultimately the purpose. You know, I want to go back to a core mindset here. I mean, Michael said it before, is be clear on your purpose. You know, why are you doing what you're doing? What is our purpose? And what's the clear, defined goal and / plan on how you're going to get there? And work at it diligently until you get it. You know, the end
these
of the week.
Goals, these are goals you set every Sunday.
Every Sunday.
And how much did you write last month?
A little over 43,000, 43, almost 44,000.
44,000. And you drive, you know, let's just say 12 hours.
Correct.
To run your business. You set your own appointments.
Correct.
It just amazes me because I get so many people tell me there's not enough time in the day, and here you keep finding all this time. You must not have any children.
I've got a 10-year-old, almost 11, a wife, and I'm involved in my church and go to Bible study every Wednesday morning and work out every day and do my cardio every day, read, all the personal stuff, you know. I mean, I've plenty of other personal things that I'm very disciplined at as well, so I've got plenty of time for all that.
So you said Tuesday evening, I started on something and we got off track for a second there. Call tracking.
Yep.
Talk to me a little bit about what you
okay.
do.
This is very important. You know, before I make my calls on Tuesday, I invest probably another, I'd say, 40 minutes on just defining my clear call plan, reviewing my leads from last time, my new leads, getting them in order. I set specific goals as far as, okay, here's how many calls I need to make Tuesday, here's how many calls I need to make Wednesday. Set goals, minimum of 120 dials on Tuesday, minimum of 80 to 100 dials on Wednesday. Set specific appointment goals, meaning I must set 10 appointments by 6:30 tonight, must set 8 o'clock, 8 more appointments by X time tomorrow. And then I keep a call tracker where I just mark down a little tick every call that I make, every dial I make. It could be the same number multiple times throughout the day, but a total, you know, a track of how many calls I make. And so like yesterday, I think I ended up making 122 dials. Yeah, 122 dials.
You have a couple people on your team that you train them how to do that. And you'd be amazed at the emails that I got. Oh, my gosh, this thing that Jeremy Patton talks about with tracking the number of dials you're making works. And, you know, I'm just going to – Travis Adams is one of them. He's, what is he, 20 years old, 21? He just turned 21.
Yep.
And he's turned in, you know, he's probably going to hit 10,000 this month easily.
Yeah.
And, you know, here he is, 21 years old. He's following Jeremy. He's doing the tracking sheet. He's tracking his dials. And I don't think – you cannot get away from tracking your dials in this business because if you don't – and this is just basic psychology. If you ever sit on hold waiting for someone to pick up the telephone, and let's say you're calling Sprint, and you're angry with them or whatever it may be, you're calling to increase your plan, but you're on the phone with them, okay? You're going to sit on hold. When that person picks up the phone, almost entirely the first thing that comes out of your mouth is, man, I've been on hold for 30 minutes. And chances are you've only been on there 5 or 10.
Right.
I like 30.
Yeah,
you know, like 30. And it might have felt like 40 or 50 dials, but if you don't write it down, you don't know.
Exactly. And it also something writing it down pushes you. Meaning, because there's going to be those times I don't always want to make calls. I didn't want to make calls yesterday either, you know, all the time, you know. However, I do want to take care of 13 to 15 people this weekend. I do want to write $15,000 to $20,000 in premium this weekend. So how am I going to do that? I don't even think about calling. I just do it, you know. And by that call tracker pushes you. I mean, I won't even get out of my chair, Paul. I don't care what I need to do, whether I need to go to the bathroom, whatever. I won't get out until I've made at least 40 dials, period. I won't get up. I won't do anything else until I've made 40 dials. And sometimes, you know, of course you're going to not be in the mood all the time, but I've realized that after you make a good 20 calls, yeah, that's a lot easier, you know. You're in the groove. You're just keep moving. Well, they're not home. Well, keep calling, you know.
Yeah.
Call again, you know. So that's something that's very important. It goes back to self-discipline and mindset.
So Thursday, you hop in your car, drive 6 hours.
About 6:30, I hop in my car and drive 6 hours.
Okay. When's your first appointment on Thursday?
My first appointment's usually about 1:30. Tomorrow starts at 1:30, and then I go anywhere between every hour, hour and a half. Typically on Thursdays, I have at least 6 to 7 appointments. Friday is my fully booked day, where I'll have probably 9 to 10, depending on what's going on. And then Saturday mornings, I run every other Saturday morning on average, and run probably 4 appointments on Saturday morning. Then I hop in the car. If I'm leaving on Saturday, I'm home by 6. If I don't run business on Saturday, I just leave whenever I'm done and sometimes get home about 2 or 3 in the morning and have the weekend with my family. So that's my schedule as far as how I do it. It's just condensing those time frames and steering everyone to that Thursday, Friday, and every other Saturday morning.
Awesome. I think the key here is you write it down every week. Every Sunday, just about every Sunday, you send me this, you know, spreadsheet and tell me exactly what you're doing, the hours that you're going to do it.
Absolutely. And I think the key is, I mean, you can have the greatest presentation in the world, but if you're not getting in the home, it doesn't make any difference. You know? I mean, Michael's presentation works because he's extremely self-disciplined and he's doing the work he needs to do. He and Angie, rather, give them both credit. They're doing the work that they need to do to get in front of people and help people. But if you're not self-disciplined and you don't know how you're going to get there, then it doesn't matter what kind of presentation you have. So the key really comes down to mindset, self-discipline, being extremely clear on what your goals are, where you're going, why you're doing it, clearly defining it, sharing it with someone else so you have accountability, and keep taking action, knowing what's working, knowing what's not working, changing it, and just keep moving, keep moving, keep moving, keep moving. You know, that's the key.
And you never wake up on a Monday morning, Tuesday morning, Wednesday morning and figure out what you have to do, do you?
I already know.
Yeah.
Every week's almost the same, you know. So
it's that.
But it changes, you know. There's always something different every week, but it's just a habit. Now it's a habit. And then if you get in the habit of doing it for 30 to 60 days, it's going to be a habit, so to speak. So.
Right. Awesome. Incredible. Do you have anything else you'd like to add to this group of folks here?
I do. I think it's so easy being salespeople to think we're so busy and to psych ourselves out, to not invest enough time to slow down and really think through what we're doing and how we're going to get there. I get caught up in it all, you know, well, we all get caught up in it. But you can't afford not to slow down and invest time in planning clearly what you need to do. If you don't, then you're going to feel like you're moving, but you're not going to go anywhere. You're going to be on a treadmill. So do yourself a favor, invest at least an hour and a half to 2 hours a week thinking through clearly where you're going, where you want to go, and how you're going to get there. And I guarantee you're going to have drastic changes in your business, your family life, whatever.
Awesome.
In the future. That's really all I have to say.
Awesome. Thank you for joining us. And if you guys want to hear how to write Forrester's business, Jeremy's going to be a guest on our next call at 12 o'clock with the owners of the company. And if you want to, he is. Are you number one? Did you retain that, or are you still back?
I'm number one by 6,000.
You retain? Oh, by 6,000?
I'm leading by $6,010.
That's gracious. Okay.
Yes, sir.
You lost the lead there for about 30 or 40 seconds, and you didn't like that, eh?
I didn't know I lost it. When did I lose it?
I thought you. Oh, you know what? You didn't lose it. My organization lost it. I was number one as a group, as an agency. Okay.
Sorry, I haven't been looking at that number.
You just made it to your number, aren't you?
Yes, sir. I figure the better I do, the better we all do, right?
That's right. Smart man. So if you guys want to hear how to write Forrester's business from someone that's extremely disciplined, please jump on the call after this. Guys, I want to leave you with something. I'm currently reading The Principles of Self-Mastery by Napoleon Hill. Napoleon Hill is obviously the author of Think and Grow Rich. If you haven't read that book, stop what you're doing everything today and lock yourself in a closet and read it. But The Principles of Self-Mastery, it's a bit of a more difficult book to read. You have to have out a pen and paper. You're requested to take notes during it and do some things. But I read something that just really hit me in so many ways. One is, this is Napoleon Hill. This book was written more than a couple of years ago. But I want to read to you something. He talks about personalities and service. Ironically, he talks about life insurance, which one of the other reasons why it hit me so hard. Life insurance has been reduced to such a scientific basis that the cost of insurance does not vary to any great extent, regardless of the company from which one purchases it. Yet out of hundreds of life insurance companies doing business, less than a dozen companies do the bulk of the business of the United States. Why? personalities. 99 people out of every 100 would purchase life insurance policies do not know what is in their policies, and what seems more startling, they don't seem to care. What they really purchase is the pleasing personality of some man or woman who knows the value of cultivating such a personality. Man, I love that. When I get people now that tell me on my team, hey, that they told me they wanted to think about it. They were thinking about you. So keep that in mind when you're in these people's homes. If you get the I want to think about it, do what Michael says. Okay, I told you I was going to get in your budget, so obviously I haven't reached your budget, or I haven't explained this correctly, or you don't like me. Which one is it? So when you have folks that are telling you, I want to think about it, I want to shop, they're thinking about you. So that's why mindset is so, so crucial. That's why it's so crucial to have that goofy smile. When Michael was telling me about that goofy smile before he started, I'm laughing because I've seen it. And I know that if he knocked on my door and I saw that smile, I would bust out laughing. They're buying his personality. Like it says here, they don't even care what's in their policy. And how many people do you guys have that after 6 or 7 months they call you up because they want to do something different with their policy? And you're thinking, Jesus, right there in your policy, all you got to do is open it up. They don't even know where it is. They bought it from you. You're the reason they bought it. Keep that in mind when someone tells you they want to think about it. They're thinking about you. You guys tear it up. Have a great weekend. And we got a couple of, we got 1 weekend left of business for the month of April. So you guys go out there, tear it up, live it up, and have some fun. Take care.